Connie. If you have your Bibles, take and open them up to the book of Acts. Acts chapter 19. Acts chapter 19. While I go in praise and prayer, you know, it's important. There's so many little things that God gives us and that we oftentimes fail to give Him recognition in the little things. And so I'm guilty of that. And while I go in praise and prayer, one of them little things that probably wouldn't matter to y'all whatsoever, but it was a big deal to me. Several months ago, I got a new pair of dress boots and wore those. And most of the time, I've never had an issue breaking in a pair of boots, you know, one time and we're done. But this particular pair of boots, I have worn for several months, and they still hurt my feet the day I put them on. And yesterday, by chance, we went to the feed store in order to buy some feed and all for the animals that we needed to pick up. And they had a big sale on. They carry Ariat boots. And my lovely bride was with me. She said, well, you ought to go over and look, you know. Well, sure enough, I found one 50% off or whatever it was, 30, 40, whatever it was. But they had a good sale on and found several of them. You know, they have changed sizes. I always wore a 9D. And I put a 9D that they said was a D. I could not get my foot into the chute because it wasn't no D. And so she said, oh, well, you need a wide one. So they bring this over here. It says it's double E. And I, like, my dad wore triple E's. There ain't no way I can ever get into a double E. This has got to be crazy. But anyway, slipped that boot on. It kind of went, eh, not going to work. And but I give God praise because she went, that little old clerk, that little old gal that was helping there went and found another pair. She goes, well, try these on. I got them. And I'm going to tell you, the moment I put my foot into that boot, I looked up at my wife and I went, she goes, well, what do you think? And I went, ah. I mean, it was that quick. And I told that little old gal, give me that other one, let me put it on there. And she said, well, what do you think? And I said, you need to put those up there at the register so we can get out of here before I spend something else. But anyway, I give God praise. I found a pair of boots that's just like I've worn, my old pair that's wore out and cracking on the sides. And problem is, it's up on the upper part of the leather. They can't fix it. But they are just as comfortable as I've had those for several years. So, you know, I praise God for the little things. Acts chapter 19. Acts chapter 19. We often speak about the fact in more than one time, and in certain instances, we talk about it's great that you had a praying mom or praying dad or whoever it is that inspired you and took you to church and told you about Jesus. But you have to have a personal relationship. And the title of the message this morning is A Personal Faith with Jesus Christ. A personal faith. And so it's kind of comical. You know, in the book of Acts, if you hadn't read through there, it is about the acts of the disciples and the apostles. Paul is mentioned in 19. We're going to see what Paul was doing. But there are things in the Bible. If you do think God don't have a sense of humor, you read through that Bible. I mean, he made a jackass talk. He still got them doing that today on certain people. There is a lot of humor. And I still believe that there's sometime God just sits up there like we do sometimes with our kid, and he just has to shake his head, and he chuckles, you know, because we think we're so smart, and we can figure out all the weather and everything, and it's like, nah, I got a trick for you. You'll like this. Anyway, chapter 19, invite you to stand if you're able for the honor of the reading of God's word. Chapter 19. This is going to talk about Paul when he was at Ephesus. So I'm going to open this. I'll have you sit down, and then we're going to pick up a little further. But in 19, it says the following, and it happened while Apollos was at Corinth that Paul, having passed through the upper regions, came to Ephesus, and finding some disciples, he said to them, Did you receive the Holy Spirit when you believed? So they said to him, we have not so much as heard where there is a Holy Spirit. What a shame, huh? And verse 3, and he said to them, into what then were you baptized? So they said, into John's baptism. Then Paul said, John indeed baptized with a baptism of repentance, saying to the people that they should believe on him, meaning Jesus, who would come after him, that is, Jesus Christ. And when they heard this, they were baptized in the name of the Lord Jesus. And when Paul had laid hands on them, the Holy Spirit came upon them, and they spoke with tongues and prophesied. And now the men that were about 12 in all, you may be seated. We're going to skip down. I'll let you sit there. I want to skip down, though, down here. So we've got people that they've heard the gospel through what they had, especially in these early times of John the Baptist. And John himself told the people, he said, it's not me. I have to decrease for the one who is coming after me. It was all about Christ. Now I want you to look down here and drop into verse 11. It says, now God worked, still talking about Paul, now God worked unusual miracles by the hands of Paul, so that even handkerchiefs or aprons were brought from his body to the sick, and the diseases left them, and the evil spirits went out of them. It's not because Paul was great. We saw that with Jesus, when the lady touched the hem of his garment. She was healed. It is because of the power that God was in, and the Holy Spirit in Paul. Continue on. It says, then some of the itinerant Jews, exorcists, took it upon themselves. Key there. They took upon themselves to call the name of the Lord Jesus over those who had evil spirits, saying, we exorcise you by the Jesus whom Paul preaches. Notice the way it's worded, by the word of Jesus whom Paul preaches. Also, there were seven sons of Sceva, a Jewish chief priest, who did so. They did the same thing. And the evil spirit answered. Now, this is where it kind of gets comical. And the evil spirit answered and said, Jesus I know, and Paul I know, but who are you? And then the man in whom the evil spirit was, leaped on them, overpowered them, and prevailed against them, so that they fled out of that house naked and wounded. This became known both to all the Jews and the Greeks dwelling in Ephesus, and fear fell on them all, and the name of the Lord Jesus was magnified. Now, I'm a visual guy. Can't you see them proclaiming Jesus' name because they've heard it from Paul? Not from their own experience, but from what Paul had preached them, and that evil spirit comes out and he says, I know Jesus, and I know Paul. But who are you? Who are you to try to cast me out? And then he leaps. Not only does he embarrass them, he leaps out of the person that he's in, the guy that he's in, and takes and goes to give them a royal whipping. And sends them. Not only does he whip them, they leave there naked. He beat them till their clothes fell off. And they run around town. And yeah, I would, you know, if that happened here in Atlanta, it would probably spread far and wide as well. Okay? We'd see that on Fox News and every other station, regardless of their political beliefs. They'd go, look at the naked boys run. I'm reminded old Ray Stevens, don't look, Ethel. But the serious side of this is, he says, I know Jesus, I know Paul, but who are you? You see, although they had heard Paul preach, they'd heard John preach, they'd heard all the preaching of Jesus, they felt like, well, we can do that. Took it upon themselves, as we read there in 13, they took upon themselves that they would have that same power. You see, it's one thing for you and I to plant the seed of the gospel, but it can't be just by word. Folks around us need to see it in action. Not only did they need to see it in action, folks, the part of this to you as a Christian is, when we have new Christians, it's mine and your job to mentor them. to grow what they've gotten. In Paul's day, it was the fact, and that's how the early church, how the Lord designed it. It says that once they were baptized with Jesus, then he laid hands on them and the Holy Spirit came upon them. Today it is, when you accept Jesus Christ, whether you realize it, a lot of people don't realize it, that you the moment you accept Jesus Christ, you get the Holy Spirit in your life. Now, if you don't realize he's there, therefore, all of us, as we mature as Christians, begin to understand this Holy Spirit. And there's a lot of preachers that and people that don't want to hear about that because, oh, you're talking about ghost and thing. Well, he ain't, you know. The Holy Spirit is not Casper, okay? Nor is it some big ghoul or anything like that that Ghostbusters had to absorb into their little machines. The Holy Spirit is loving and comforting. You see, the same Spirit that dwelled from the Father in Jesus Christ is that Holy Spirit that dwells in you and I. He's the guide. He's the teacher. He's the comforter. And you can't go because mom and dad were praying and they knew Jesus, or my best buddy or my coach or my Sunday school teacher. It has to be real and personal to you. You know, a lot of times when we talk about folks that, and we tell them, you know, hey, we need you to help spread the gospel. That's the commandment that Jesus gives all of us there, is that we go and preach and teach the gospel. And preaching doesn't mean standing here like I'm doing. Oftentimes the best preaching you can do is living your everyday life that Christ is in the center. That's the real. That's where the rubber meets the road. That's where they really see you walking the talk that you gave. And see, the only way you and I can do that in all circumstances is through the power of the Holy Spirit. We can't do that. It's Him who lives through us. And as we progress and mature, I will tell you from my experience, and I still got a lot of maturing to do, but every day that I mature and that I seek God and learn more of Him, the more precious that Holy Spirit becomes. Now one day, Miss Connie, as you said, when we're gathered home, that Holy Spirit will gather me through the clouds, but I'll actually see my Jesus face to face. But that Holy Spirit that runs in Him, that runs in me, will immediately... You ever thought about that? How you going to recognize Jesus? Same way we recognize other Christians now. That Spirit inside us lets us know, I got a common bond with sisters and brothers. Oftentimes we meet people from the very outset. Before they ever say a word, you go, man, there's just something about this guy I'm drawn to. And you get to talking and you find out they're a Christian as well. That's that draw. There's other people that the Holy Spirit tells you you need to be cautious of, because the Spirit's not there. You know, as being in law enforcement for so long, for so many years, I interviewed one of the serial killers. And I tell you, the moment I walked in that room, the temperature changed. It wasn't the air conditioners and all, it just changed. It was cold. And I looked into that man's eyes and it was like looking into total darkness. There was just nothing at all there. So as much as you want to believe in angels and believe in the Holy Spirit, I'm here to tell you, there are demons and evil spirits and there is a devil just as there is a God. Now you have to know Jesus Christ personally. It is about your relationship with Him that those things come about. In John, another illustration, John chapter 4, in verse 39 through 42 here in John chapter 4. What we see, this is the continuation of the chapter 4, is very long. It goes, as I said, many verses in it, but it starts to recount Jesus meeting the woman at the well. I'm not going to read that whole thing. But what I will bring your attention to is verse 39, because as you read the first 38 verses, Jesus meets her at the well, right where she is. We've heard that story. And then he asked her for water. And she said, why would you, a Jew, even speak to me, and let alone ask me for water? And she's one of the town mistresses that goes about, and he speaks to her and tells her the things. And it says that she went about town telling everybody that she met about this man and how he changed her life. So it's where we're at when we drop in to 39. And it says, and many of the Samaritans of that city believed in him because of the word of the woman who testified, he told me all that I had ever did. So when the Samaritans came to him, they urged him to stay with them, and he did stay there for 2 days. And many more believed because of his own word. Then they said to the woman, now we believe, not because of what you said, for we ourselves have heard him, and we know that indeed he is the Christ, the Savior of the world. You see, when we have a personal relationship, many folks talk about, we go out here and we testify, and they go, well, I don't know what to say or whatever. Your personal experience with Jesus Christ is your testimony. I laugh and tease and joke with old Mater. But you know what? If he gives me his testimony, I can't tell him he's wrong, because it's his testimony. He can't tell me mine's wrong, because it's mine. Mike's is Mike's. Mildred is Mildred's. Marilyn's is Marilyn's. Miss Connie is hers. It doesn't matter if it's different, which they all will be. We don't all have the type of testimony that Paul did, that God struck us blind. And it doesn't matter. Because you see, when it comes from my heart telling you about my experience with Jesus Christ, you're going to get all of the emotion and everything that I have experienced personally. And that woman, that Samaritan right there, she went and told all the people, and they could see the change and how excited she was. And so it sparked them. She planted that seed. They went to listen to Jesus himself. And the last verse that I read said, we now believe not because of what you said, but because we've experienced him personally. But had she not testified, they would have never gone. So never think that you're faith of walk and your testimony that you spark to others and tell them about the Lord of the gospel is not working. Some of you have experienced that, where people come and say, tell me about you, Connie. There's something different about you. Oh, what an open door. Mm-hmm. Especially if you got them on an airplane. They can't go nowhere. They can't get up and walk off. Or any other place of that, you know. Old Paul, he had the best deal of all. He's sitting there in jail and chained just like everybody else. He got a testimony to give them, whether they want to hear the singing or not. They're going to hear it because they can't get up and leave. And God oftentimes allows us those deals where people can't leave. And what I've come to learn is when he allows that, I may not know the reason why, but I can tell you there's a reason without a doubt. He's put them in that position and me in that position to tell them about Jesus Christ, because they can't get up and leave. Nothing, I'm convinced, happens by chance. If we allow God to be the leader of our life, it is orchestrated by him. And the one that guides and directs us where to go, what to do, when to say it, when to shut up, is the Holy Spirit. Don't be afraid of that Holy Spirit. He is the best friend you'll ever have. And he will guide you and direct you in what to say to people, how to comfort them, how to give them hope. Even things maybe that you thought, well, where in the world did that come from? I'm not that smart. The Holy Spirit's working in your life. Just listen to him. So how do we increase this relationship of the Holy Spirit and have our personal testimony? You know, it's just one thing, it's one part of my testimony to tell them the day and how Jesus came into my life. That's exciting all by itself, okay? But the more
inciting things to tell people how it changed your life is from that point forward what has taken place to now and what their will become. You see, there's a lot of people out here that are afraid of dying. I'm not afraid of that. I claim the same thing that David said there. Though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I fear no evil, because you see, leaving this temporary place takes me to my true home. It takes me face to face to my Savior. And I believe every word in that scripture, that it's God ordained and it's God spoken through His Spirit. And Paul writes, the very instant that you and I leave this world, we are immediately in the presence of Jesus Christ, if we know Him personally. The ones that have a right to be afraid is those who do not have a personal relationship with Jesus Christ. That's where fear is about. See, that's the tool of the devil, is fear and confusion and separation, because you're separated from God. And the fear is, yeah, the grave is all there is. But there's even a greater fear after that. A lot of people don't want to believe in hell. Folks, if you believe in heaven, you have to believe in hell. God's that way. All of His character. If there's one, there's another. So if there's a heaven, I assure you there's a hell. Or God has lied about it all. And I don't believe Him to be a liar. So how do we increase that level of our personal relationship? You see, the day you accept Christ, it does not end there. It is just the beginning. You are like, as Jesus talked about, you're a new babe. You're reborn. You have to increase that. So how is that done? Well, quite simply is the fact that if we look over here, in knowing exactly how that transpires, is in Jeremiah 29:13. I'm going to get you to turn there for a moment. I'm almost done. Jeremiah 29:13 in the Old Testament. This is backed up. What I'm going to read to you is backed up in Matthew 7:7, 2 Chronicles 7:14, Isaiah 55:6, and several other places in the Bible. But I will read to you Jeremiah 29, beginning in verse 11. God Himself, I'm actually going to back up to 10 because I love this about the Old Testament. For thus saith the Lord. There is no question about who's speaking through the prophet. For thus saith the Lord, after 70 years are completed in Babylon, I will visit you and perform my good work toward you and cause you to return to this place. He's talking about Israel is going to be in captivity. Verse 11 is a promise. For I know the thoughts that I think toward you. Wasn't just to them Jews. That's to you and I. They had been bad. They had rebelled against God. Just like you and I rebel against Him. Isn't it comforting to hear these words? I know my thoughts. I think toward you, says the Lord. Thoughts of peace and not of evil, to give you a future and a hope. A future and a hope. Then, verse 12, then you will call upon me and go and pray to me, and I will listen to you, and you will seek me and find me when you search for me with all of your heart. I will be found by you, says the Lord, and I will bring you back from your captivity. Well, now, preacher, I ain't ever been captive. Yeah, you have. The day you were born, you were captive to sin. And you're still a slave to it if you don't know Jesus Christ. Jesus follows that up in Matthew saying the same thing. Seek me and you will find. Ask and you'll receive. Knock and it'll be open. You want a purpose to your life? You want a hope? Knock on Jesus Christ's door. He'll give you that, just as the Father promised right here. He tells you that is exactly what will take place in your life. Jesus says in John chapter 14 and verse 5, He says, I am the way, the truth, and the life. Well, we read in our original text, those old boys was trying to go by the way of Paul. Even though Paul was preaching the gospel, they were not looking to Jesus to be the way and the truth and the life. They were looking to John the Baptist, or they were looking to Paul. Mike, I appreciate the compliment you gave me, but brother, it ain't me. I had the pleasure of being God's tool and vessel, His mouthpiece. And I would tell any one of you that. I appreciate your compliments oftentimes after service. You go, wow, I really like that message. It ain't my message, it's His message. I just got blessed to be the yapper. Okay? Some of you sit there and say, yeah, I wish you'd quit that yapping up. I will when He says to quit, okay? Otherwise, snuggle back, get comfortable, and enjoy it. Pay attention to what He has to say. You're right, Mike. I'm not telling you of me. I can tell you my experience with Him. But you're the one that has to live your experience. If you don't live that, my friend, we really need to talk and pray, because there's doubts and questions about your true personal relationship with Jesus Christ. Now, on the other side of that, that's to you that don't know Him, but I want to talk to you that are Christians that do know Him. Notice back in our original text, the evil spirit says, I know Paul. I know Jesus. I'm going to tell you something. When you got a testimony like Jesus Christ, you got a testimony like Paul, and we can come down into the ages and say Billy Graham and name off all different people, the old devil and his spirits are going to know you. And understand this, you claim the power as they come, and they will come upon you. Don't you be whooped upon and stripped naked. Because when that fight comes with that old devil, the thing that those evil spirits and the devil himself knows, because God has proclaimed it and Jesus showed it when He was tempted, they have to flee in the name of Jesus Christ. And you claim His name. Because Paul says we fight not of flesh and blood, but of powers and principalities. You know, I don't know how good a fighter I am with the powers and principalities, but I know if I invoke His name, that boy will come down here and kick some butt. And the old devil and those old demons, they got to leave in His name. And when you proclaim that and you confess that and you believe that through the Holy Spirit, He kicks that devil right out of you. And He kicks whatever the temptation is away. I've seen it. I believe it. But see, it can't be my word. But I will tell you the good news. You can experience it. That's the power of that Holy Spirit. When you invoke Him, you got all the power of heaven and earth and the entire universe, because you have the power of the God who created every bit of it. Jesus came to this world as a man. Some folks want to say, well, yeah, but He was God, so He could do no wrong. Wrong. He had a choice just like you and I do. He chose to serve the Father. He chose to invoke the Holy Spirit of His daddy when He was tempted and when He went to that cross. It wasn't His desire to die. He showed us that in His prayer in the garden. But the flip side of that was immediate. He said, let this cup pass from me. But Father, not my will, but Your will. And you see, that's where each one of us has to be. There's times you and I are going to go through trials and tribulations. But God will strengthen us if we yield ourselves, not of our will, but of His. Think for a moment what it would be if Jesus didn't yield to the Father's will. No salvation, no Savior. No hope, continued fear, continued chaos, no peace. But Jesus said, not my will, but Yours. He set the example for us. Everything he spoke about was never about him. He would consistently, if you go through that New Testament and read it, you can even track it because of the computers and stuff, and just say it, and in there, what my Father said, what I saw my Father do, it's always about the Father. And you see, you and I have that same power because we're a child of the King when we know Jesus. It's not about my power. I can say to that devil, get behind me in the name of Jesus Christ, and they has to flee. It's not what I do, but what I've seen him do. And he overcome that devil when he arose out of that grave. He killed all of the devil's power. For you and I that know him, don't be afraid to speak the gospel. Don't be afraid, more especially, to let him guide your life. Your entire life will become a picture book for those around you. You can't escape it. And these people out in this world are super hungry. They're hungry for a real testimony. And always remember, it's not because I said it, not because you said it, but you planted the seed because they hear it of themselves. If you want to seek him and you want to know more of him and grow in that maturity, that comes from two things. One, being in his word. That's where you learn about the power and the promises that God gives through his Holy Spirit and the comfort. And second is talking with him every day, every moment of every day. Because see, I told you he'd be your best friend. Your best friend, whoever that is on this earth, you'd like to gab with him all day long. And the great thing is, my Jesus is with me all day long. I'm not separated by job. I'm not separated by traveling. Wherever I go, he goes. And that's a whole other message in the other deal about where you go. Realizing that you take that Holy Spirit with you. Yep. And make some of us back up about what we go or what we think, right? Personal relationship. A personal faith with Jesus Christ becomes your testimony. From the day you met him to the day you meet him again face to face. I invite you to bow your head and close your eyes.